from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Alerts. You can't get fooled by Jeff Passan with three S's.
I don't think anybody today on the year has fallen victim to that. I didn't hear a Starkey or a Zeiss
Get clowned, bamboozled
by someone.
Get clowned by Ballsack Sports or something like that.
Ballsack Sports. Or what's Sports by Barry? Is he still going strong?
Sports Talk Barry, yes.
Sports Talk Barry.
Those are the two OGs, I think, of the medium.
Yeah, Mackey's column today went over all the trades that Charrington has made, and he added up the war of the guys that left and added up the war of the guys who've been brought in, and it wasn't close. They've given up a lot more than they've brought back.
Wasn't it something like in the mid-50s, and then they got back like 15?
Yep.
That is damning with the numbers and the statistics right there.
So, obviously, if you've got some heart issues, today is a day where you want to make sure you're taking your medicine and also calling the right people to get checked out. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. All right, let's go back out to the hotline. Greg Brown, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Greg called another exciting game last night. The Pirates come back to beat the Astros. Still very much in the thick of this playoff race. And we are 2 hours away from the trade deadline. Greg, what are the latest rumblings? What's the scuttlebutt down there in Houston right now? Is it Houston we have a problem, or are we getting closer to a solution?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd give me some intel. You guys are you got the pulse on it. I don't have any updates, information. You know as much as I do.
So but, no one small step for Ben, one giant leap for the Pirates lineup here.
That's good. Yeah, it's fun though. I'll tell you, it's great when the Pirates are involved, and so you can, you know, try and I'm like watching the MLB Network, listening to the radio, going on the internet and watching the MLB trade rumors, what's up, the latest deals that have been made.
But it's also heartbreaking when your team doesn't do what you want them to do. That's the other part of this, the stress that comes with it.
That's part of sports.
Sure.
That's the way it is. That's a great thing about sports, great thing about baseball. Who knows if they are going to do something, what they do, if they do anything. Will it disappoint?
Well, what would you
know.
Like to see them do if they came to Greg Brown?
I'd love to see them add. I'd love to see them add if they could add a bat of any kind.
Doesn't matter
and
where.
Obviously, not necessarily. I mean, I think outfield, maybe a compliment to Tellez at first. A platoon partner perhaps.
So, like a guy like De La Cruz from the Marlins would be. That's a significant move if they were.
I mean,
to make
I think
it.
That would address. I think that type of player would address a need that is there, and it's pretty obvious. And I was on with Andrew, Chris. You were Man, I don't know where you were. It was a rare off day for you.
He was at Oakmont. But,
I was playing Oakmont that day.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay. So I was at the North Shore Tavern with Andrew, and I guess you had had Shelton. Well, you have him on weekly, but he had said on his show, and I had not heard it, that I don't know whether he said they were going to or looking to add a bat. But
he said he wanted it.
He wanted it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, so, I mean, you know, Sheldon's as plugged in as anybody. He and I mentioned this to Andrew. I think he and Sherrington are tied at the hip. They've got a great relationship. And when I heard Shelton had said that, that made my ears perk up. And I think that that's why I anticipate they'll end up doing something between now and the deadline.
What are the risks of doing nothing? And I ask that meaning you've been around teams where you've seen the team get augmented with trades or a trade. Versus maybe teams that didn't have much of anything done to help them. What does it do when you kind of are around the players or you get a sense of being around the team in general to, I hate to say this word, but to the vibes around the team if nothing happens?
I think that when nothing happens, I can tell you that the years that the Pirates were in it, they have always added. They've always gotten somebody.
It was a lot of waiver post. It was post non-waiver deadline trades. They made a lot of moves in the margins that ended up working out well in like August at that waiver trade deadline.
Yeah. So given those parameters, they did something. They have in the past. They like it or not, they did the Archer trade. Now I got the feeling that when they dealt Tony Watson, was it Watson? I believe. Yeah. I don't know what year that was for O'Neill Cruz. It was kind of a downer. They traded Melanson. I forget who they traded Melanson. Oh, it was
Washington for the closer who will not be named.
Felipe Rivero.
Yes.
That's who they traded for. And it was kind of a little depressing because you felt like, oh, they're really not that they're literally giving up on the season, but they're obviously passing and they'll probably still be fairly competitive, but they're not really going for it. They're not really adding someone that's going to really help them this year. So in the past, when they've been in it, within a couple, three games, which they are now, they have gone out and added, and I anticipate that they'll do that again.
I'm going to read you a quote from Joel Sherman. Do you like him, Greg?
I think he's really solid, yeah. I like him.
So he said on MLB Network today with Mad Dog, no team is going to want to play a best of three against Skeens, Keller, Jones. They owe it to their fan base to try harder. Stop kicking the can down the road. Do you agree with that?
I don't know what he means by that. I have to ask him what he means by that. Stop kicking the can down the road.
Yes, like stop saying next year's the year. Next year is when we go for it. It'll be next year.
Who said that? I would ask Joel Sherman. And if you're playing that role, I'm asking you, if you're Joel, what do you mean? Who said they're kicking it for till next year? Who in the Pirates organization said that?
Well, I would say actions speak louder than words because they haven't made a move.
So you've got 2 hours to do that, don't
you? Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Well, then why in the world would he? I didn't hear that directly. That's your quote, and then you're quoting directly. I would ask him what he means by that. Stop kicking the can down the road. Does he say that to all the teams that have not made a deal? And the Pirates have, by the way. You don't have to like it, but they addressed the need of I think they needed that left-handed reliever a few weeks ago. So I'm glad they did that. Yeah, I think they were really hoping that Baruchy was going to be the guy to complement Chapman, and they had to stall the rehab, and I think that necessitated this move. I'm glad they did it. That tells me they're not kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. They're actually addressing a need. You don't have to like, oh, it's just Jalen Beeks. Well, that's a left-handed reliever who's a good one, who's going to be good, and compliment Chapman. That's not kicking the can down the road.
What about this Nick York? Why isn't he immediately reporting for duty on the major league club?
Oh, well, I would think that we're probably waiting until the deadline, see how the dust settles. And, that would be my answer.
So when you answer it that way, there's a very good chance that depending on how this goes, he could end up helping the major league team or being on the major league team very soon.
I don't know. I really don't. I shouldn't say that because I don't know enough about the guy. I don't know what their thoughts are. Maybe he goes down there for a week and tears it up at Indy. and then they bring him up.
Greg, I want to jump in back into the Sherman thing. I would say back to you, yes, they got a guy that helps in their bullpen. They are 28th in the league in OPS. The only team's worse than them. One has lost 15 games in a row, and the other has the worst record in the National League. If they don't add to their lineup, if they add no major league hitters, then how else do I interpret like their thoughts on this season? They think this lineup can compete for a World Series?
So I'd say, again, let's wait till after the deadline.
Okay. So if they do nothing, and I say that at 6:01, you would think
if
that
they
would
do
be a
nothing,
fair...
if I'd say if they do nothing, then you could suggest that they are going to let. Obviously, they're going to let this roster go and see what it can do. I'm not, by the way, let's be fair. You just mentioned the numbers about the OPS,
yep.
the team OPS. There aren't probably two or three players in baseball that you could legitimately acquire that will improve those bad numbers that fast. I mean, it's, you know, that would be difficult to do. I don't know there's anybody out there that's going to improve those numbers in the next month. Well, you know, their OPS is one of the worst OPSs in baseball. Well, name me a player that they're
going to
get.
I don't think people want a player that's going to single-handedly become like 0-1 to 0-4 Barry Bonds. I just think people want a better bat than what they're putting out there right now.
That's fair.
It's just proof that they need the help. It's just empirical evidence that suggests that they need offensive help.
Understand. And by the way, the next lowest team on that OPS list is Seattle.
Now they have done things, though, to their credit.
Yeah. Yep. And then I would counter by saying, look at ERA numbers around baseball and see where the Pirates are in that respect.
Good.
I mean, they're winning because of their pitching.
Agreed. That's why I think Sherman made the point like their starting pitching is so good, you don't want it to die on the vine this year.
Yeah, I don't think the Pirates want it to die on the vine this year either. Nothing they have done or said for me, suggest that.
Not that Sherman is in the business of telling teams what to do because he's biased one way or the other, but I did interpret, and maybe it's just me, Greg, him saying you owe it to your fans, don't kick the can down the road. I almost felt like he said that because based on what he's hearing and who he's talking to, he isn't hearing them being seriously in on anybody at the moment or at the moment when he said that. That's what kind of made me nervous. Is he saying this because at the moment he's not hearing a whole lot about the Pirates?
No disrespect to Joel Sherman. But he's based in New York. He's a New York. He's a Yankee Met guy for the most part.
Sure.
Again, I respect him, but you know, I don't think the Pirates are top on his,
list
of priorities.
I agree with that. I got frustrated because guys like Jesse Winker, who I thought could make this team better, did not go for much, and he's not making a lot of money. Greg, that was one I circled as why didn't they?
I circled it as well. I thought he'd have been a nice ad. Again, this is impossible for us to know what the conversations were, what the Pirates turned down, what they asked for. We just don't know. And I think it's probably unfair, but perhaps to a degree understandable when people assume that they take a Joel Sherman quote, I'm not saying you, Andrew, but in general, the fan base might roll their eyes. Oh, there they go. They're just kicking the can down the road. They didn't even get Winker. We don't know what was involved in that possible transaction, if at all. And this is also when the first time, admittedly, by Ben Cherington on his show on Sunday, this is the first time in his 5 years that he is involved and his organization, the people that work under him, the scientists, literally analytics people, the research people. This is the first time they are really going to be tested, and he, as he said, that this is the first time he's, in so many words, going for it. It's the first time he's had a chance to try and add to the team because he wants the team to get into the postseason and believes the team can get into the postseason this year. So this is his first and his department's first big test. And I'm sure they're crunching the numbers And that's the other part
of
it.
How much do you think crunching the numbers involves not hoping, but thinking that there's reason to believe that guys like Michael A. Taylor can still improve enough to be those additions, that these internal improvements can take the place of deadline acquisitions?
Well, one internal improvement got sent down, Chris Sawinski.
Well, no, yeah, I'm just asking, what do you think in their calculus? I was not trying to, lead the witness here.
I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know what it is, but it all comes into play. I think if we, the three of us, had an opportunity to go inside and to watch all that goes on. I mean, I see it on a daily basis in that clubhouse. You cannot believe the intense work and the numbers crunching that goes on in that clubhouse and in that office. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable. And they are working their tails off to figure this out as best they can. And
no fault of your own. I thought you did a good job, but I it was hard to listen to Ben because I felt like he just kept saying on Sunday reasons why a trade can or won't happen, Greg.
You guys have interviewed as many guys as I have over the years. And it's, and I know you're not suggesting it. It's not my job to get something I want out of him.
Yep.
But I asked whatever I thought needed to be asked. I chuckled at the end that he gave a politically correct answer. I didn't expect him to answer directly. Better than 50-50. I've never had all the GMs I've dealt with in every sport has never come out and
constant,
told me.
Constant, you got to be able to say no. You got to be walk away.
The DARE program.
Well, that's an answer though.
Sure.
I mean, it's not
the answer people want to hear, Brownie.
I understand.
And I know it's not your job. You just said it's not your job to get them to say the things people or you want to hear.
I actually liked the question. I thought it was a good question.
And by the way, I don't know what would satisfy. You guys just said it. Actions speak louder than words. So what good would it do for Ben Cherington to come out and say anything if he doesn't come out and produce in the next less than a couple of hours? And by producing, I don't mean he's going to go out and get Luis Robert. But I do think he's going to add. He's already added a small tweak, but I think a big one, in getting that left-handed reliever, that compliment. They needed that. And now I think that they'll get a bat. Not that some bat that's going to end up creating in the next month that the OPS is going to go from third worst to third best, but help improve the lineup. And of course, the caveat to this and a little fly in the ointment is I don't know how bad those injuries are. I mean, you just lost Nick Gonzalez, your best hitter besides Reynolds since mid-May, one of the best hitters in baseball. You just lost Nick Gonzalez for weeks. And last night you lose what looked like a bad knee injury for Bay, and who the three of us, we've talked about him for a couple years now. And I don't know how bad the hamstring injury is to Palacios. Those are two big time, if not offensive producers, at least energy producers to that clubhouse and that dugout. And I knock on wood that those aren't severe injuries. But man, sometimes even the best teams can't overcome big injuries.
Greg, if you hear anything, make sure you call us right up.
I'll call or text, either one.
Thank you, Greg. We'll talk again soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Guys.
Yep. 420 brought to you by the Buell Insurance Agency. Contact Buell today. A special Donnie football debrief in 10 minutes. We'll go to La Trobe, St. Vincent College. Brooke Pryor was there for the first Steelers padded practice. What did Russell Wilson look like? What happened to Roman Wilson? Two massive stories from Steelers practice today. Breaking news from Tampa. Yandy Diaz. Pirates have been linked to him all day. He is at Tropicana Field, and he is out there taking ground balls at first base, acting like he won't be traded in the next hour and 40 minutes. So
never know, though.
I had already crossed his name off my list, my Pirates wish list. My list is just now crossed out names. That's
so there's not a name on there?
No.
So we just got done with Greg Brown. I had a couple thoughts I wanted to bounce off you from that interview. The way Greg talked, and you and I were pressing him, I thought, especially you, trying to get something out of him. And he
was
kept
prodding?
Yeah, I mean, I think I got to get in there and prod even more.
Donnie,
honestly.
Was there effective prodding going on, did you think?
I think the prods were out a little bit.
I'll tell you what, Starkey can nudge. Starkey can prod on Shelton.
Oh, he prods.
Oh, he does. He does a good job.
I applaud him. I applaud him for that.
He even probes at times. Prods, probs, nudges. I will say this. Greg kept saying, let's wait to see what happens in the next hour and 45 minutes or thereabouts.
Yep.
He sounded very much to me two things. Like a man who already has a pretty good sense that they really are going to make a move, but he also sounds like a man who has a good sense that the move he thinks they're going to make is not for some major impact player. So what do I translate that to? Honestly, Pony, you're going to hate this. I feel like they might well get Pillar, which would not do very much at all for me.
I don't think he would tease a Kevin Pillar. He's got to know better than that.
His OP, if Greg was just looking at the OPS, it's over 800 for the year. Is he down in the baseball reference minds getting the monthly splits there to know that he's basically sucked three out of 4 months?
Kevin Pillar feels like something where Ben Cherington, who had the guy in Toronto, calls L.A. at 5:55 and says, all right, I pulled out all the stops.
It's last call at the bar.
I can't get the guys or just now, so no one else gets him. Just say, hey, I'm working on a bunch of other things, but just so I have
something,
a fallback option, can I send you cash considerations for Kevin Pillar? Oh, that works. Deal. Thank you. Now I can go on and still try to make these other big deals.
What about if it was Renhifo from the Angels?
I would like that a lot.
Because that guy can play multiple positions, having a very good year with the bat. And somebody said more offense than you've gotten in years past. It's really the same. He's just hitting for better average.
Second, third, and right field for him.
He's been a good offensive player for a couple of years now. I would like that deal.
Donnie, did you get the sense in hearing Brownie that there is something big coming? That he just couldn't?
No, I didn't get the sense there was something big. I got the sense that he knows there's something coming down the pike for a hitter. Not a big. Big is Luis Robert Jr. comes to the Pirates in a crazy-ass blockbuster that no one saw coming.
I feel like he wanted to hide whatever it could be because he, you know, kind of played the fifth card with some of the questions you threw out there about, you know, who could it be? Do you have any,
any
insight on it?
If Pillar is a size small and Robert is a double XL, what size is Brian De La Cruz?
Large.
Large?
Yeah.
Don, you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I would actually be pretty happy with that. I mean, I'm not worried about every single metric that the guy has.
Why? Are there people fretting about metrics out there?
He strikes out a lot, and he doesn't take a lot of walks. He's a power.
You're sensing people that don't like the metrics?
You know what he is? Do you know what he is? He's Jack Sawinski when Jack Sawinski was actually, like, solid. He hits a lot of home runs.
And you don't think they'll make him come here and try to change him and make him something he's not?
No, they're going to have him, like, doing the equation from The Hangover in his head. every time he's at bat, like they apparently did with Sawinski. Should be, hey, Jack, see ball? Hey, Jack, hit ball.
De La Cruz's war this year is 0.2. What do you think Connor Joe's is?
0.4.
0.7.
Connor Joe.
Not the end-all, be-all, but maybe that's the thing Donnie's talking about with the metrics.
There's somebody on the Pirates that has, it's hilarious that they have the war that they do.
What do you think Key Brian Hayes' war is?
What do you think Michael A. Taylor's war is?
1.1.
Did you look that
up?
No,
I didn't. That's the same as Key Brian Hayes because that's the defense getting baked in.
Joey Bart has 1.
How's, I like Joey Bart.
How's Triolo at 0.8 defense, I guess? Damn sure ain't offense.
They're trying to win game 0-0.
Yeah, I watched Hayes last night hit that like line drive to mid left center field, and I just came up with the thought of like, is that all he's got? Like sometimes I just wonder with him, is that just the best we'll see? That's about as hard as he can hit a ball anymore.
Well, I didn't ask Greg that. Didn't ask Greg this, but the Yandy Diaz flirtation. Did he think of that as a way of sitting down Hayes and replacing him at third base and not taking McCutchen out of the lineup, not taking Tellez out of the lineup?
Do you think they still value Hayes' defense?
Out. Yes, I do.
I think that I brought it up, and maybe I don't know how I could have brought it up that would have maybe pinned Greg on this one and made him answer it. I think they really are looking at Michael A. Taylor hitting that home run last night and thinking maybe he's going to snap out of it.
They already have Tellez to go by.
Well,
and
yeah.
If the options are give up something for Kevin Pillar or just hope that
Ride it out with Michael A. Taylor. Right. What's the not cheaper option, but like there's no fuss, no muss. You just keep the guy you've had all year.
Do you buy a great new sponsor, Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington? The Pirates still haven't done anything, so I don't feel as bad making a pit stop to Latrobe to talk about the first day of padded practices. That's where we find Brooke Pryor, ESPN.com. You see her on Get Up. Done great work for them now for the last few years. She was there in person watching Russell Wilson participate in team activities for the first time. And also, bad news on the injury front. Roman Wilson goes down and needs to leave the field in a cart. Brooke, let's start with the Roman Wilson thing. Did you see it happen? How bad did it look? What can you tell us about the rookie Steelers receiver?
Yeah, you know, I did see the injury happen. He got rolled up on a jet sweep on the on 7 shots right at the beginning of practice. Just got hurt on the tackle. Hard to tell exactly what went wrong other than just to say his ankle got rolled up on. And I didn't see him leave on the cart. I think I'd gone to the other side of the field, but quickly noticed that he wasn't out there. And, you know, when Mike Tomlin starts out his kind of list of injuries and specifically starts by acknowledging Roman Wilson's injury before he gets to the bumps and bruises associated with play, as he likes to call them, it's not usually a great sign.
Brooke, was it, you say rolled up on, was it like a dreaded hip drop tackle type of thing?
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was just a tackle and his foot got caught underneath himself, and I can't remember who it was that tackled him. I think it was just, you know, bad luck there.
Brooke, have you felt like, because we had heard over the weekend that he was like an MVP of the Saturday and Sunday practices, Roman Wilson, had you started to feel like the guy was making inroads to be one of their top wide receivers behind Pickens?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, it's hard to really get a good gauge on these guys until their pads come on. But he had been rotating in with the ones, and I think especially because the wide receiver depth isn't great behind George Pickens, he has a good opportunity to get some good playing time there, you know, whether that's in the slot, out wide. I think primarily in the slot is where I would expect him to be. But he has really good speed. He's really shifty. He has a good connection with Justin Fields. I would have liked to see it more with Russell Wilson, but obviously he didn't get much of an opportunity to do that. So you just hope that this isn't a long-term injury, especially for a guy that's a rookie in training camp. He's going to need to be durable. He's going to need to be out on the field because it can really set back your timeline as a rookie to get on the field in a game.
Brooke, the other Wilson, Russell, how did he look? Because I saw the aftermath of practice, and it appeared that he was doing everything a politician would do on the campaign trail, kissing babies, signing things,
oh,
slapping
Sean
Payton fives.
I hated that practice.
I think
then.
I saw him slap a kid 5, and the kid looked at his hand like he was never going to wash that hand again. So how did he look on the field?
I mean, that is the full Russell Wilson experience. But on the field, you know what? Mike Tomlin's being very deliberate and very cautious with him since that calf injury. He got into 2 11-on-11 periods and just handed the ball off one rep each. But in 7-on-7, he completed all 6 pass attempts that he had, including the last one was a deep ball to Connor Hayward, a moon ball, as Connor called it. And Hayward ran up to Russell after the play and, you know, was really excited and pumped that he threw him the ball and pumped that their chemistry and their rapport from working in the offseason together had kind of paid off in a play like that. He still didn't do the 20-yard sprints as a part of the team warm-ups, but he went through the other stretching. In the individuals, I would say he probably maybe threw a quarter or less of the number of balls that the other wide receiver or that the other quarterbacks threw. So I think that they are just trying to make sure that they don't aggravate that calf injury and take a step backwards instead of continuing to move forward so that this doesn't become a lingering thing.
Brooke, how has Justin Fields handled the elevation in status and the opportunity to get more chances with the starters?
You know, I was really impressed with him today. I think today was the best practice he's had. Like Russell Wilson, he didn't have a single incompletion. Granted, he threw a lot more balls than Russell Wilson in those team periods. And I thought he just looked more confident and more decisive in how he was playing and the passes he was throwing. I mean, he had that one, the back shoulder throw to George Pickens, the one-handed grab. That was really impressive. But the thing for Justin Fields is going to be consistency. So great, he came out and did it today in the first padded practice. Can he do it tomorrow? Can he do it the next day? That's the thing that I need to see from Justin Fields to say, yes, he's really turning a page and becoming a better quarterback in Pittsburgh, because we know that he can hit the home run plays. I mean, we saw him in Chicago. He can do incredible things on his legs and make deep throws, but it's doing the little things, doing the, you know, not exciting passes, but, you know, just to get some short and intermediate throws to the middle of the field, just the easy plays that are going to keep an offense going. They're going to keep a drive alive. That's what I need to see more of from him. But I mean, today, and it was a day, by the way, that he said he felt like something in his mechanics was a little bit off. Maybe it was throwing in pads for the first time in a while, something like that. But he said he's working on it with Matt Baker. So if he looked as good as he did today with the mechanics still being off, I mean, he has to feel good about where he is in this, you know, competition, if it even is a competition.
Go ahead, Mulsey.
I was just going to say, anything that was noteworthy from Fautanu in particular, just among high-profile guys in there as rookies?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that he's still battling. I believe I saw him work at left, right. I think he got in with the ones at one point during 7 shots, and I'm having trouble visualizing on the line where he was. But I think that, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle to, you know, try to unseat, I guess, technically Broderick Jones would have to unseat Dan Moore. So then Troy Fautanu could move into that spot. I mean, I think that that's the hope of the organization at some point, that Broderick will move over to left tackle. But I think that they're not trying to rush his development. So it's, you know, only been one padded practice. We've seen him in there a little bit, but not much.
Brooke Pryor, ESPN on the Steelers in Latrobe. Brooke, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.